I'm so thankful that we can sing that you are holy and we can be in his presence. Think about it. Old Testament couldn't do this. Not everybody. Like literally, once a year, a priest had to go before them. I've got preacher's voice. I preached this morning and I shouted a lot right now. Think about it, that you, because of a new creation, because of a new covenant, can enter boldly into the throne room of God. Boldly. Each one of us. That when we come and we say he's holy. I mean, back in the day, guys fell down as dead. See? Power. Hallelujah. But we can enter boldly. So it's beautiful, eh? When we sing that, you are holy, Lord. We just adore him. We love him. So this evening, we're gonna look a little bit at a character in the Bible that I think so often is a bit misunderstood. I think sometimes it's a bit of a crime that we don't remember the life of Noah, as apart from the fact that he built an ark. Okay, I think most of us, we've learned the stories of Noah, and we all know the story of Noah and the ark, but there's a lot more to the life of Noah, a lot more to the story. He was more than an interesting character. He was more than a ship's builder. He was more than a zoologist. Well, that's what he pretty much, 2x2, they entered in, you know. Hey? He was more than a mathematician, I guess. And he was the only one that heard God speak to him since Adam. He's the only one, the Bible tells us, that hears God speak physically since Adam. Since Adam was thrown out of the garden, God stopped speaking for 1,000 years. That's longer than the time between the Testaments, the Old and the New. There was a silence of 400 years. For 1,000 years, God doesn't speak. And all of a sudden, he decides to speak to Noah. I think that's pretty cool. I don't know about you. You see, Noah had traditions. He had history. He had rituals. We'll look at his lineage and everything, but he basically just missed Adam dying. And that's 10 generations later. He just missed Adam dying. So at least his father, Lamech, at least saw Adam. He knew him. So I'm sure that he sat with his dad and his dad would tell him stories about Adam. And the things that Adam told him. Maybe there were some sacraments that they handed over to guide them and assist them to reach out to God. How to hear God's voice, how to listen to God. But you see, this is no substitute, having those rituals and those historical things and traditions. It's no substitute than to hear the voice of God and God directly communicating with men. So since Noah was born about 1056 BC, we see that. We're going to camp a little bit in Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 6. So get your Bibles ready. We're going to turn there just now. So like I said, he barely missed knowing Adam. And Adam lived to a ripe old age of 930. And Seth. But it's highly likely that Lamech, Noah's father, like I said just now, knew Adam. So any tradition or any teaching that Adam wanted to hand down in only the second generation at the time of the flood. I don't want to spend too much time on Noah's history. I don't want to spend too much time on Noah's birth. But let's look at a few things And let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. One thing I want to stress in the Bible is this. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, and it says this, "And the Lord was sorry." Some translation says, "And God repented." He was sorry that he made man. It grieved God that he made man. 10 generations later, after the fall of man, God was sorry. This is the very creation that he made in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 that we see. And he said, "It's very good." 1,000 years later, he's sorry. God was sorry that he made man. Man's wickedness and depravity produced disappointment in God. But nowhere in the scriptures does it say that he ever was sorry that he redeemed man. It was sorry that he created man, but nowhere in the scriptures does God ever say, "I'm sorry that I'm going to redeem them," because he wants to. He wants to set you free from this wickedness. And we should all say, "Thank you, Jesus," because we're all part of that. So Noah comes into a very, very dark and very dismal time in history. It's not a nice time to be born into. There was wickedness. There was violation of the rights of others. There was robbery. There was violence. There was making heroes of those who lived lawless lives. Does that sound familiar? That basically sums up contemporary movies, entertainment, and politics right now. But Jesus warned us. Look at this. Matthew 24, 37. "As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Do you think we're more wicked now? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe we're living in a more wicked generation. Maybe we're worse off. But let us be aware that God has not changed his attitude towards sin. Romans 6:23 still tells us the wages of sin is still death. It hasn't changed. It will be eternal separation from God. It hasn't changed over the years. It became more wicked and more wicked, but yet God. But there's the beautiful thing. But, there's a free gift. Who likes free gifts? Me do. I do. Yes, I love free gifts. Hey. I got a lovely Jimmy's parcel this week. Free gift. Thank you, Jesus. Free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I don't want to pay a wage. I want to have a free gift. And so should you. In the midst of this comes the 10th in the line of Adam. In the midst of all of this, let's read Genesis chapter 5, verse 28 and verse 29. "When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son." Okay. "Lord, I am 50 and I have two. I don't even know how to raise them." Yo, at 182, you only decide having one. "Lord, thank you that you made life shorter." Suffering is shorter. And called, no, it's not suffering to have children. It's super good to have children. Most of the days. It is. Come on, guys, this is church. We can't make jokes. "He called his name Noah, saying, 'Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands.'" The word Noah, the name Noah means rest. So Lamech is prophetic and he says, "I'm going to call my son Rest. Because he's going to bring relief for us. We've been cursed. The curse happened with Adam. that by the sweat of your brow you will work and you're cursed and you'll eat from the ground. The toil and labor of your, all through your life. You see, this child came at a crucial time with a critical mission. So the relief or the comfort that Lamech has called him, he says, but relief from what? I want to ask you this evening, what relief was Noah supposed to bring? Well, the results of the curse of sin was hard work and painful toil of the hands, according to Genesis 3, verse 17 to 19. It seems to me that Lamech understood something. They understood the threat of this wickedness, this wretchedness, and that it was the result of this curse that they were under. But there is actually little evidence that they were seeking to live sinlessly. They just wanted a relief. They just wanted comfort. They just wanted a rest. They were like, "Gee, need a bikkie water. This is hard." They merely wanted someone to give them relief and comfort them in their sorrows. They wanted a savior, but they didn't want a Lord. We all want a savior. Save us, Jesus. But we don't want to make him Lord. We just want relief. Life has been tough. And that's exactly what Lamech is calling him. I think that Noah must have lived under a tremendous pressure, almost like Moses did a few years later. That he was to be a deliverer, but not knowing how to fulfill that commission. Noah didn't know anything, contrary to his name. Noah wasn't a knower. He didn't know much. Lamech might have taken comfort in the birth of his son, but it must have been very difficult for a young Noah to grow up with such high hopes. Think about it. We don't read those things in the text. We just see what Lamech is calling him. We just see his name. We see, you know, but we don't understand what Noah went through maybe. I'm sure the more godly Noah lived, because we'll look at him just now, the more he was hated by his generation. The more that you love Jesus, this generation will hate you even more. If you stand up for Jesus, you will be mocked. Jesus said, "They hated me, they will hate you. I suffered, you will suffer." That's how it is. If my friend listens to my preach right now, there was a moment that I came back to the Lord, my best friend. I ended up in Durbanville, and there was a moment that he didn't want to go back to church. He literally called me Captain Righteous. So he called me. I said, "I'd rather be Captain Righteous, but I don't want to burn eternally in hell. I'd rather be Captain Righteous." And when we went on an outreach, he went to Durbanville, and he's still stuck there. He's still with Jesus. I'll give him kudos tomorrow morning when I phone him. Both his life and his preaching actually condemned the world. Both your life and your preaching actually condemns the world. The world hates you when you start speaking because they know they're sinners. And I think he just experienced great loneliness. I think he was the kid that everybody wanted to have psalmies with on the field. He wasn't that guy. He wasn't the nice guy. You know, the life of the party. Oh, here comes the party pooper again. Noah. Noah lived righteously and walked with God. Let's look at Genesis 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Sounds like these are the days of our lives. The generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Hey, man, I just want those words written all over my headstone when I die one day.
if I can just have, Stephen was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Stephen walked with God. That would be enough. What an epitaph for each one of us. Anyway, just thought, that's, if you're thinking of a thing to put on your headstone, those are good ones. So. Noah was blameless, but he still didn't see any, he didn't see God alleviating any suffering. He walked blameless, but he didn't see anything. God didn't want to remove the curse from the earth. He wanted to remove cursed man from the earth now. He's deciding, I'm just going to wipe the whole lot off the face of the earth. He says that. Noah eventually learned that God sometimes delivers his people from the circumstances and sometimes in the midst of the circumstances. It's not necessarily that God just pulls you out of the circumstance. He comes and he rescues you in the middle of that trial. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the middle of the fire. Even if God does not rescue us, we'll still worship him. They stoked that fire so bright. Bro, it will burn your steak quickly. And they chucked them in there. And then the guy's like, hey, well, we just put three guys in there. But there's a fourth one in there. What's up with that? They pull them out of that fire. They don't even smell like smoke. Because God is a deliverer in the midst of. And sometimes it takes faith for each one of us to be in the midst of something and God delivering us in the midst of that. Noah's peers expected him to solve the problem, the crisis. There was a crisis at hand, but God merely expected him to survive in the midst of this crisis. He says, Noah, I'll be with you. I'll walk with you in the midst of it. Even though that you are in the valley of the shadow of death, it's not death itself. It's just the shadow of death. It's not death. Valleys are fruitful places most of the time. I'd rather be in the valley than on a mountaintop without Jesus. I'd rather be in the valley with Jesus than on a mountaintop without Jesus. I tell you that right now. I'd rather let him be in my boat when there's a storm than without him. I want him there with me. And God, look at this. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, God speaks. God speaks. What a treasure Noah had found hearing God's voice and actually looking into his face. You see, Adam enjoyed this grace. Adam had this communion with God. As long as he had unrestricted communication with God, as long as Adam spoke with God in the cool of the day, he had this fellowship. But that moment that he hides and tries to cover himself with the fig leaves, the communication stops. The moment that we try and hide ourselves from God because of sin, because of whatever it is, hardness of heart, it stops. God walked with him. God walked with Adam. And God walked with Noah. But as soon as Adam was kicked out of Eden, that communication stopped. The last communication between God and humanity was in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. Look at that. It's the judgment of Cain. The Lord said to Cain, God speaking, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? God speaks to Cain, and there's a judgment of Cain. 1,000 years from that moment till we see Noah. Not just a chapter and a half. 1,000 years. It doesn't even say that God spoke to Enoch that walked with him as well. In Genesis chapter 5, 24. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Yo, bro, I want that.
Just like, oops, there I go. The other guy that did that was Elijah, but he just made a more like triumphal exit. You know, there was a chariot of fire that came down and God took him. But Enoch, it doesn't even say there that God spoke with Enoch. I mean, if he walked that close with God, that God takes him, I'm sure. But it doesn't say that. We don't have it there. We see God's judgment on Cain, and then we start seeing Noah hearing God's voice again. What a long silence. I can only imagine that this silence led man to slide even further from God. I think a lot of our moral depravity in our society today, our backsliding is, if you will, because we do not hear God's voice. I want to say that. I think a lot of our sin today, a lot of our backsliding is because we just don't hear God's voice. Would man be so far from God if he talked to God? Because then I have a relationship with him. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? How are you going to know God's kindness if you don't spend time with him? How are you going to know what God's kindness is like if I don't spend time with him? I said this before. We had this little joke years ago. It was in the years before WhatsApps and everything. It was, What? Not BBMs, man. What was that thing? Huh? Not Mixit. Come on, Drew. Do I look like a Mixit generation? Huh? What was that? No. That we spoke on. Morse code. Yes. Huh? Pigeons. You guys are confusing me, man. No smoke signals. Before Zoom, what did we use? Skype. Thank you very much. For those that are not mockers and scoffers amongst us, smoke signals. I might look Neanderthal, but absolutely, I'm not well versed in smoke signals, contrary to popular belief. So we used to sit next to one another in our office, in our garage, and I would send her a little Skype and go, "I love you," and then she would send me one, "I love you too." And I'm like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Oh." And then we chatted like that. If that would be the sum total of our relationship, talking via Skype, do you think we really have a relationship? No. Why do we do it with God? Why do we do it with God? You have a living relationship with him. You can talk to him. You can enter boldly into his presence. Would you actually experience God's goodness if he's not speaking to us? You see, they had all these traditions and history and a few godly examples even, but no revelation of and from God. There's just silence. And if we do not hear God's voice, we will respond to other voices. We will start listening to other voices. Your own seared conscience, the Bible says. You'll start listening to your own voice. You know, I often say I have like 3 or 4 voices in my head. 2 of them speak English to me. The rest I don't understand. But you start listening to yourself and your own conscience. It's not good. The heart is evil, the Bible says. Wicked heart. You start listening to demonic voices. They ain't great voices to listen to. And they will not lead you to holiness. So mankind, not taught and directed by God or led by his Spirit, will always fall into the lowest level of filth and misery. Look at Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. In actual fact, verse 5, the Lord saw
that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Just go read Romans 1 when you get home. So get to the crux of our sermon today. First thing is, God spoke to Noah. Noah heard the voice of God. Did he hear God's voice because he was the last in line? Or did he actually become the last in line because he, among all his wicked peers, heard the voice of God? I don't know. But he heard God's voice. Amos 3 verse 7 says this. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. God chose to speak to Noah as a servant. God cannot judge sinning people until he could find one who would actually listen to him. He described how he felt and what he was about to do. Noah listened, and Noah heard, and discerning God's voice, and God said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and then the Lord said, this is the first time he's speaking to Noah, eh? The Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. God told Noah how much longer man was going to live on the earth. 120 years later, the flood came. 120, exactly. He said to Noah, from this moment, 120 years, that's what you have. And then I'm destroying everybody. For 120 years, what would you do for 120 years? For 120 years, Noah became a preacher of righteousness. If God told you, in 120 years, the earth is going to stop. I'm going to wipe everybody. What are you going to do? I'm going to start preaching the gospel like never before. Or do you go into your comfort and you start living your own life and just, oh man, I'm just going to eat steak for that 120 years. Sit on my stoop and look at the waves. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah. Look at that. A herald of righteousness. With seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. A herald of righteousness. If people will not hear God, they will not hear God's preachers. Noah didn't just preach righteousness. He actually lived it. He demonstrated it. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. He became a shining light to everybody around him. He could please God because he knew what God desired. Because he spoke to him. He listened to him. Noah was a man of faith. Another thing that pleases God. And the more he heard, the more his faith matured. And I think some of our generation think that God ceased to speak. And when he speaks, he only wants to talk theology. When God speaks, he's going to download things from heaven, then it's going to be theological things. No, 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 no. What did he tell Noah? Well, he told Noah his thoughts, his feelings, his plans. God communicated dimensions and patterns and materials and construction of an ark. That's what he told him. God can speak about anything to us. Not just theology. He can counsel us in every avenue of life if we develop a listening ear and believe and do what he says. So point one, God speaking is very necessary. God speaking is very necessary. The second point, God speaking is available. If Noah could be delivered by listening to God's voice and obey it, so can we. If you listen tonight, if you obey the voice of God tonight, you can be delivered. You can be set free. Walking and talking with God has been restored by the death, like as I started off, just felt to say that. It's been restored by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We don't have to die in the presence of God. We have access because of what Jesus has done. We have the Spirit that fills us and leads us. So we have no excuse. Not a single one of us as born-again believers have an excuse. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 and 2 says this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. God speaks through His Son. Personal relationship. How beautiful is that? I believe no generation in history has had God's voice as available as this generation. But does obedience match its availability? It's available, but does obedience match the availability? How does holiness match with communication received? God has spoken. Do I live a holy life when He has spoken to me? Maybe we are often fixated on retransmission of the voice. We love retransmission. Thus saith the Lord. We would rather tell other people about what this voice said than actually responding to the voice ourselves. We love to prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. Could God get you and me to build an ark if He communicated to us? Based on the communication that you see here, could He get any of us tonight to build an ark? We spend hours in prepping and delivery of sermons to declare God's word, His voice. Does this affect behavior outside the church building? What I'm saying tonight, does it affect any of us outside that building? Because in here, it's beautiful. It's easy to say those things. But it's actually when it's happening tomorrow to preach the gospel out there. Every week, we can prepare people's hearts, but it's actually only effective if we listen and obey. And listen, I've said this before, delayed obedience is disobedience. If God has spoken, we should do it. Imagine Noah delayed obedience. Just imagine. None of us would be here. Think about it, because God would even destroy Noah. See, we clap hands when we hear tongues and interpretation of tongues, manifestations of His voice. We sing emotional songs, but His voice is meant to direct and guide, not just to excite us. Oh, I heard God's voice. No, He spoke, and I heard, and I did. He spoke to us. But will you trust and obey and do as He said? If you do not obey, we're actually just rebels. Lastly, God speaking brings us to worship. Look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. This is after he came out of the ark. Noah's first action after the flood was to worship the Lord. And God's response, look at God's response, is in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. And when the Lord smelt the pleasing aroma, the Lord said, So he smells it. He smells our worship, and he keeps on talking. And the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. God smelt, and God said, worshiping man, us, me and you, worshiping God is a delight to God. Noah wasn't bitter when he came out of there, like, oh, everybody's dead. There's no one here. No, it blessed him. He blessed God. He wasn't bitter towards God. He blessed God. He worshipped him. And you see, this led to God speaking again. Worship causes God to speak. As God received Noah's sweet-smelling offering, he spoke again and made a covenant with Noah and his sons. Worship, listen to this, my friends. Worship always renews communication with God. Always. If you feel lost, if you feel detached from God, I tell you, go into your room and worship for half an hour. For 10 minutes, you feel connected. It's happened to me numerous times in my life. I know when we are itchy scratchy. You know, itchy scratchy. We don't fight, we just get itchy scratches, you know. And I know that my wife needs to go worship God. Because I'm usually not the one that's doing anything wrong. So I go, baby, I think it's time that you go worship the Lord. I'm only kidding. There will be an itchy scratchy if I say this again. But worship always renews communication with God. Let's never stop. He's most likely to speak to us when we worship. Most likely. God loves to speak to his people, but the craziness of life often dulls his voice. During worship, our minds are quiet. Our activities are centered upon him. We are spiritually sensitive at that moment. Communication with God is vital to worship. For worship, listen to this, worship is the expression of our deepest love and adoration. Worship is love responding to love. That's what worship is. Worship is two lovers responding to one another. That's what worship is. How can this happen without communication? That example I've just used of us Skyping one another. Worship and prayer must be more than a person talking to God. It must be a dialogue. I often say, just try and breathe out. Just breathe out quickly. Just breathe out, all of you, for as long as you can. Some of you might have a condition. Don't fall over. We don't have a doctor in the house. You see, a lot of our prayer life is just that. We just breathe out. But there's a moment where you need to stop and breathe in as well. Prayer is not just coming to God and just downloading everything. I need to tell you this. I need to do this. And I need a husband. And I need a wife. And I'm sure, and Lord, and then my car is broken. And Lord, that's what our prayer life sound like. And God's like, okay, I want to answer you. And we're like, okay, cheers, bye. There we go. God's like, I wanted to just chat to you. I just wanted to have communion with you. I wanted to tell you that I love you. Breathe in, breathe out. That's what prayer life is all about. Yeah, Rian, there's the T-shirt. Breathe in, breathe out. That's what prayer life is all about. Boom. Noah could worship because he learned two-way communication with his Creator. If Noah could become a worshiper by listening and responding to the voice of God, so can we. God loves on-the-job training. God loves it. He turns something that's sometimes a religious chore into an exchange of love. Why? Because Noah met with the speaking God. And you can meet with the speaking God tonight. Let's close our eyes quickly.